talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. Friday, July the 26th, 2019. Last Friday in July of 2019. Isn't that interesting? The headphones were on the wrong ear. See, it only comes through on one side, and I've got to have it on the right side or it doesn't feel right. This is the Exchange Club. Charlie Evers and Brandy Downs are here, but we're going to get into this right away because you've only got 45 minutes to pick up these tickets to the Hank Williams Jr. concert.
Right.
We have one set of tickets to Hank Williams Jr., the man who sang the theme for Monday Night Football for so many years. I think that's what he's best known for. I believe so. I think. What's his other big hits?
I don't know.
There you go, Monday Night Football.
His dad's hits.
That's where I know him from. Yeah. All right, here's the big winner, and you got 45 minutes because we close up at 1 o'clock today, and the concert's tomorrow. So there you go.
Boy, this is going to be tough.
This is going to be big. You only get one set of tickets. Now, if you don't want the tickets, call us immediately.
Oh, my,
and let us know.
Yes.
And, boy, we got to really stir them up here, Charlie.
Yes, indeed.
They've got to look good.
Oh, my. And
we're going to get there because you really want to shake these things.
Too deep.
The bucket is very deep today, Charlie. You want to have a correct person. And,
yeah.
Oh, did I? It's, oh. You know, I cannot read that one. Isn't that a shame? I can't read
Why
that
writing?
One. Well, I think some people write these, Roxy Ralston.
Roxy Ralston?
Roxy Ralston is the big winner today.
Roxy, I never
Congratulations.
My goodness, Roxy Ralston, I hope you're still listening out there.
Well, I guess.
You have 45 minutes to get in here and get these tickets. Do you want them? Let us know, 740-383-9944. Now, by the way, tonight at the Ohio State Fair, it's Life Jennings. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life Jennings will be at the fair, and we still have April Avery and Brittany Garneau's tickets to that particular concert. If they would like those, they've got till 1 o'clock today to pick those up. So 740-383-9944. If you still want them, let us know. There you go. That's the big winner to the Hank Williams Jr. concert. Now, Monday morning, on the new morning show starting at 6:30 a.m., we will
You're going to be here at 6:30?
I don't know that I'll be here at 6:30, but I know the show will start at 6:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
right.
We'll try. We'll see what happens. We will be taking entrance for Toby Keith, who will be at the Ohio State Fair on Monday night. And at 9:55 Monday morning, we'll do a drawing for the Toby Keith tickets. So there you go.
People be in a hurry. Wow.
Well, we like to rush people around here.
Guess.
We don't like to spare them any time at all.
Roxy calls or comes in. Quick.
Roxy, you got 45 minutes. We're at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Beltone Hearing Aid Building. Park out back and go down the back steps. And also April Avery and Brittany Garneau, you have got tickets here for the Life Jennings concert tonight at the Ohio State Fair. Hank Williams Jr. is tomorrow night. That'll be big. Now, lots to talk about this week. And we're going to start locally. Because we're going to hold off here because we're going to take the phone call and see
Roxy.
Who's on the line. Maybe it is Roxy. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, is that Jennings? Is that spelled W-H-E-Y?
No, it's spelled J-E-N-N-I-N-G-S.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yep.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. So there you go. Life. It's life, isn't it? We decided that.
That's
L-Y-F-E.
Life. Yeah. That's life.
Not leaf. Not whatever else it could be. Life Jennings. All right. The first topic is local because this week the Republican candidate for mayor here in Marion wrote an editorial op-ed piece in the Marion Star. And it was kind of Kevin Norris is the Republican candidate for mayor. And basically, I read it again this morning, and I don't think he really gave any ideas as to how he... That's going to come. He
did
said
you
that's...
Did you read the latest from Kevin? About his store?
Oh, the store is sold, yes.
Yeah, right.
They sold Norris Grocery this past week after... But the store is still open, by the way. It's just sold to somebody
sold
different.
Sold to somebody
yes.
else, yeah.
Now, so that frees him up to run for mayor, which he's doing. And he wrote an op-ed in the Marion Star, which basically... He said the ideas on how he's going to fix Marion will come in the weeks and months leading up to the election. But essentially, he said the problem with Marion is over the last 10 to 15 years, we've all become complacent. We're not keeping up with economic development like the places around us. I think he's referring to Upper Sandusky and Delaware, I would imagine. And that's the problem. We need to go back. We need to go back to where we were 15 years ago because the politicians here have become too complacent in the last 15 years. Charlie, well, we've both been here for 15 years, more than that. What do you think? Is he right?
Well, excuse me. Everybody complains about the streets. No one's done a thing about it. Council has never brought that subject up.
They just made another one way this week. Maynard Street is now one way because of school safety.
But downtown, people have talked about those horrible streets for years and years, and no one's done anything.
I think Kevin, as I read the article, was talking more about economic development. I don't think it was more strategic.
Yeah, but we've got a lot of economic development.
Well, do we? Mm-hmm. I mean, what was the thing that came out not too long ago? That,
well, in the area, Poet.
Yeah, we do.
Nucor.
USY. Whirlpool.
The depot area.
Yeah, I mean, we do, but also we've got lower wages, I guess, according to the data, than a lot of other places, for whatever reason. I guess that's what I read.
Hmm.
Okay, Brandy, I'm sure you read the article. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it was a little confusing. I don't know how anyone can take us forward by moving us back. That doesn't make any sense to me. You can't make progress by going backwards. You have to take the town where it is now and move it from this point forward. So you can't constantly be looking backwards. Those days are gone. They're not coming back. The end.
But I think he's going to tell us how he's going to take us forward. But I think the implication in the article was that the people who should have been in charge of the store the last 15 years have not been doing it, and that's why there's been a decline. That's how I read it.
I don't know.
Be interesting. But another thing, in Bucyrus, some of the people up there complaining on Facebook, well, I wouldn't come back to that town for anything. I hate that town. See, it's the same everywhere.
Well, yes, everybody has. I mean, especially if you grow up in a small town, there are always going to be people who cannot wait to leave it. I was never one of those people. I never wanted to leave my hometown, and I did to get married, and now I've moved to another small town, and I plan to stay here. So I don't understand why some people, you know, get, I don't know, really upset about their hometown. It's weird to me.
It's pretty well standard.
Like, you can't see the good in it. You only see the negative.
I think it's an internal thing.
Yeah.
I think because you don't hear a lot of older people saying it. I think the people who stay down the town because they feel like they have not succeeded because they didn't leave.
They didn't
go anywhere. And the people who have left, they feel like they have succeeded. So forget that place. And I think that's always what it's been.
But that's part of the reason that small towns have trouble is because there is this drain on the population. The people who, you know, get well educated or get great jobs, they tend to leave and exit the town instead of staying and helping to build up the place where they live.
Well, we'll have to wait and see what Kevin's ideas are, but
that would be interesting.
That's the problem that I can take from his article, is that the people who are in charge have let us down over the last 10 and 15 years, I think was the exact quote, pretty much. So we'll see what happens. Now, to go national here for a minute, I mean, hopefully this is the last time we ever have to mention this name, and it might
oh,
be.
No.
Yeah. Well, Mueller testified for 7 hours, and it seemed to me like the Democrats didn't get what they wanted, and I certainly don't think the Republicans got what they wanted. I think he did what he said he was going to do. He went up there, and he referred to the report, and that was it.
Yeah.
And for 7 hours, that's what we got. We got a show for 7 hours on both sides.
Yeah.
You got the Republicans downing him, and you had the Democrats who were showing off. And it was a show. I was so tired. Why does everybody have to start with a preamble? Because they know they're on television.
That's right, yes.
You know, I, Mr. Mueller, I thank you for your service and all that. I respect you terribly, and I know you're... Yes, we all do. He was a Vietnam veteran. We understand. We don't have to hear it from every single person who asks a question. It's comedy, is really what it is. What'd you think, Charlie?
Well, I looked at it as re-election campaigning. That's
all it was.
That's
you got it. And nothing came of it. There's no more move toward impeachment. There's no more nothing. I mean, there is zero out
I think of it. The basic thing on the impeachment, they don't want to be promoting impeachment because they know a lot of people would be against that, and they'd lose those votes.
I still think the reason they won't impeach is because they know the Senate won't convict, and I think they want to let the private sector handle that when Trump's out of office.
It could be.
I think that's the reason. But, okay, what'd you make of it, Brandy?
I mean, yeah, I think it was good in terms of there was some clarification of mistruths that have been swirling around about what is in the report or what isn't in the report. But do I think it's going to change any minds? No. And it is very frustrating to see hearings where you don't even have to know who anybody is, and you know whether they're a Democrat or a Republican just based on what they're saying and how they're saying things. You know, that's not how our legislators are supposed to work. That's not how these hearings are supposed to be. So that part is frustrating. I wish there was a little less blatant partisanism, not bipartisanism, but partisanism. Yeah.
Well, it was clear to me that he was, what do I want to say? He was acting. To me, Mueller was acting. He didn't want to be there. He told him he didn't want to be there. And, you know, when he would forget something or couldn't remember the president who appointed him and all that sort of thing, I don't believe that's true. I believe it was an acting job.
Really?
I
thought maybe his mind was beginning
No. I think he didn't want to be there. And this is basically, don't call me back because it's going to be more of the same and I'm going to be forgetful. And you got to remember, he's a Republican. I know people don't like to hear that, but he is. And I don't think he didn't want to be. He told us he didn't want to be there in his 12-minute speech. So it was a big nothing. And that's that. Now, this is interesting, though, because Michael Moore, this is current, last night on the Seth Meyers Late Night Show on NBC, said he likes Joe Biden. Michael Moore's a big Democrat, not a fan of President Trump. But he said these people can't beat Trump. A professional politician cannot beat President Trump. And if you want to beat him, you've got to have a street fighter. And because they said Trump is a street fighter. That you can't do the Michelle Obama thing. When they go low, we go high. Basically, they tried that once, and that didn't work. And the idea is, when Seth Meyers asked him, well, who's the street fighter of these 20-whatever, 28, 25, what, Democratic candidates, he said Bernie Sanders is the street fighter in that group. You agree with that, Charlie?
I would agree.
The non-typical.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders certainly is the non-typical, and you know, if you think about it, if you take any of those Democrats and put them on the stage with Trump, who's going to be the one who's going to tell Trump he's full of garbage?
Mm-hmm.
It would be Bernie, I think. I've seen Bernie debate. I would tend to agree with that. What do you think?
I don't agree with that.
Well, go ahead. You don't agree with Moore, or you don't agree with Bernie Sanders?
I don't know how I feel about what Michael Moore has said. I can see where he's coming from, But I don't think that Bernie is the street fighter in that group. I do agree that he is the non-typical Democrat, but I think there are quite a few of them on that stage that are being shortchanged, and that if they were on a debate stage with Donald Trump, they would take the fight to him.
Well, Hillary took the fight to him. Everybody said that she won all three debates. She blew him off at times and said, there you go, saying more crazy things. It doesn't work because Hillary is a professional politician. It's not that, because people will say Kamala Harris because she took a shot at Joe Biden, but that's a Hillary shot. She's a professional politician. It's the same thing. Bernie's a plain-spoken guy from the Bronx. You know, he just throws his hands up there and starts
Bernie's
doing his
thing. Bernie's been a politician for a billion years.
But it's not. But it's not about being a politician. It's about he's a socialist. He's a different kind of guy. It's a whole thing.
I don't think that's the case at all.
Tickets for Roxy Rolston.
You got it. Enjoy Hank Williams. Yep. Looks good to me.
Great.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Okay. So you were saying?
I just don't agree that Bernie is more capable of debating Trump than I mean.
Oh, I don't
he's
think
just
that's
not.
He was easy to be parodied on Saturday Night Live. He speaks in a funny way. People make fun of his mannerisms, his look. This is Trump through and through. People made fun of Trump's hair. People make fun of Bernie's hair. People make fun of the way Trump speaks. People make fun of the way Bernie speaks. It's different.
But socialism will be the cement block tied to him that will sink him.
But we all thought that about Trump. We all thought that it would be a lot of cement blocks that he did that would throw him. Every time he did something unnatural, we said, well, that's the end to him. But it never was.
But he has an appeal to a rather large group of people.
But do you have to have a street fighter? Is Michael Moore right about that? Forget Bernie Sanders. Can you have somebody who just comes in with facts and figures and
no, they're dull. And figures.
That's right. Is it a show now?
That's not what I don't think. I think these other candidates are being shortchanged. There are plenty of them who are not going to come at Donald Trump with facts and figures. They will to an extent, but there will be moments where they will come at him on other things. I can almost guarantee it.
You can coming at him is not the issue. Hillary called him a puppet of Putin. Hillary came after him on his money, said he didn't pay taxes, how he treated women. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Crooked Hillary, Lion Ted, Get in the Mud, Don't Use a Teleprompter. That's what we're talking about.
But that's not who Bernie Sanders is.
I don't think Bernie needs a teleprompter.
There are other candidates. Well, I don't think a lot of them need teleprompters.
But they use them because they're safe.
But they won't always use them. I can guarantee that if you put some of them on a debate stage with Trump, there are going to be those off-the-cuff moments where they give it to him straight. And it's not going to be about facts. It's not going to be about figures.
So does it have to be a street fighter? Can it be just that? Or does it have to be, as Charlie said, an entertaining person?
Well, I do think they have to be charismatic to an extent. I mean, any politician kind of has to have that amount of appeal. And I don't
Who's
necessarily
charismatic?
Know that Bernie Sanders has that, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I like Bernie, but I don't look at him and go, ooh, super charismatic.
Expialidocious.
That's right.
Yeah. No. Bernie is a charismatic person. Like him or not, he has a funny way of speaking. He's got a funny way of talking. He's got a funny way of moving his hands up and down. And that is charisma. I mean, it just is. You can't. It's hard to parody Joe Biden. You know, what's his picadillos?
They parody Joe Biden all the time.
But what are his funny things? What are his, like, I'll tell you who was easily parodied. Sarah Palin. That was an easy parody.
That was a good one.
Bill Clinton.
She didn't
Bill Clinton.
Get elected.
Easily parodied. It's harder to, even though they did have George Bush, harder to parody him. Bill Clinton, it was cheeseburgers and McDonald's and that Southern talk, and I feel your pain. Sarah Palin was, I can see Russia from my front porch. Donald Trump was, you know, a lot of different things. Bernie Sanders is the way he waves his hands and what's going on here. And, you know, they you know, $35 or whatever it was, donations to his campaign. I just think it's charisma. Charisma.
I don't think being parodied equals charisma. Charisma is about the ability to connect with people and make them feel engaged with you in a way that gets them to the voting booth. That's charisma. Being parodied is not charisma. Any dolt on the street can be parodied.
But would the subject of socialism get anybody to the polls?
Yes, young people. Young people like socialism.
Well, fascism got them to the
polls
last time.
Now, wait a second.
So.
No.
Hey,
you cannot say that.
Yes, we can.
You cannot say.
If you can keep talking about socialism for people who aren't socialists, then I'm going to talk about fascism for people who are fascists.
What is a fascist?
Go ahead.
How do you describe one?
A fascist is somebody who believes that the leader should be followed without question.
Hitler.
Yes. Yes.
So your implication was what there?
That Trump is a fascist?
Yes.
Yeah.
But not just Trump. Trump is not the problem. Trump is the symptom of the problem.
You can't say that, though.
Bernie
is a self-identified socialist.
No, he's a democratic socialist.
But he has no problem saying he's a socialist.
No, he has no problem saying he's a democratic socialist.
Charlie, Bernie has no problem saying that he's a socialist, does he?
Well, apparently not. No.
Not. Okay. Now, have you ever heard Trump say, I'm a fascist?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Well, the fascist is negative.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call a spade a spade.
But you don't like that particular spade, so that's a little bit of
a... No, but I don't like socialism either. I'm not a socialist.
Right, but you can't be a fascist in the United States of America, truly, because we have a Congress and a Supreme Court and a Senate.
For now. Fascism doesn't start over... It's not... You don't walk into the room and say... Hi, I'm a fascist. Elect me. That's not how fascists come to power.
So you think there's going to be a takeover in this country if President Trump's reelected?
I don't know that there's going to be a takeover, but I think there's a danger. The man is already talking about not leaving.
I think he just he says things. We went through this a couple weeks ago. He says things just to tick people off.
Well, okay.
I don't think he means half the things he says.
He gets attention.
He gets attention.
Great.
It's a PR thing. I think when we start calling people fascist, I think that's when the real fascists come through. Because you label somebody over here a fascist, and then the real fascist can get through.
Look, the man has admired every single dictator he's come into contact with. He has said blatantly that he loves them, that he wishes he could do X, Y, and Z that they do. I mean, I don't know why.
But that's why he's not a fascist, because if you were, you wouldn't tell somebody, because if you're trying to overthrow the government, you wouldn't tell somebody, hey, I'm planning on staying around here forever.
No, but that's what Trump does, is that he says things, and then he says, oh, it was just a joke. And then 5 months later, when you forget all about it, he starts doing exactly the thing that he said he was going to do. And everyone says, oh, my goodness, how did that happen? Well, he told you he was going to do it. He just pretended that he wasn't.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if it's off the subject.
Well, that's okay.
The new prime minister in England.
Of England, yeah.
Oh, no.
He's not married. He's living with his girlfriend. And he looks a lot like Trump.
Hairdo. Very similar.
This should be interesting.
This is overtaking the country. He's a pro-Brexit person.
Can you imagine 10 Downing Street boy?
Well, this is taking over the country. Look at the guy who just had to resign in Puerto Rico. He wasn't going to leave.
That's right.
It is a wave that's going across the entire world.
But they're not fascist, because even the guy in Puerto Rico eventually did have to leave because of public opinion.
Yeah, but... No, the guy in Puerto Rico wasn't a fascist, but, you know,
he was trying
the
to
guy
turn
in the
into
Philippines,
one.
Right?
Ferdinand Marcos.
What about Venezuela?
No. Venezuela? Well, yeah, but
whatever happened to that, all the rioting and everything that was going on down there?
But a lot of people used to call Franklin Roosevelt a fascist because of Social Security. He held on to the office for four terms that he wasn't going to leave. Now, how about you think there weren't Republicans who said, "Now wait, when's this guy going to leave? Everybody else has taken two terms and left."
I probably would have felt the same way about Roosevelt having taken a third term. I don't know how I would have felt about that given the world situation at the time and the
there
state
was a
of the
war
country at the time,
coming right. off the Depression,
right? But you know, that's another thing is that we do tend to get very scared about changing leaders in times of conflict.
I just don't know that calling the current president a fascist is an apt statement. Now, if the people want to refer to themselves as socialistic ideas or a democratic socialist, are not even a member of the Democratic Party, which Bernie Sanders has no problem doing, that's one thing. But the president has never self-identified as a fascist. Nobody, I think just to say that is an opinion more than a true statement. And when we're talking about Bernie being a socialist, that's more of a true statement than an opinion.
A democratic socialist.
What does that mean? He's running in a Democratic primary and he's a socialist?
It means that he's not going to, he does not believe that the government should take everybody's money and then divide it equally amongst everybody in the country. It's not pure socialism. That is not what Bernie Sanders stands for.
So do you need a pure street fighter? That's the question.
Well, I don't know because you just told me I can't call him a fascist. He can call other people names, but I can't call him a fascist.
No, you can call him a fascist, but I don't know that you're running for president.
No, I'm not running for president, but hey, if y'all need a street fighter, give me a call.
You won't even tell us who. There's the real tentativeness in you. You won't even tell us who you're backing.
There's a reason that I'm not telling
What's
you.
What's the reason?
I'm not going to say that on air.
You won't even say the reason?
Nope.
Okay. Because the person's unpopular.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to move on from this because we got more to talk
yeah,
about.
Okay.
But hey, this morning, Nancy Pelosi met with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And before the meeting, I read the articles, and it was Nancy Pelosi was saying, this is going to be a fine meeting. We don't, you know, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And after the meeting, she came out and said, we have very little differences. Pelosi did. But the Speaker of the House very rarely meets with members of Congress like this, certainly first-term Congress members. Charlie, these two, I don't think see eye to eye at all, and I think there's a big problem.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
different generations, different ideas.
Now, Pelosi and Biden, they're both in this. Is Pelosi as old as Biden?
Like older.
Mm-hmm.
She is?
I mean, she's close to 80.
Oh, yes, my land. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
She's held up well, though, I think, for 80 years old.
I guess so. I wonder what makeup company she goes to.
Well, would you put her on money, Pelosi?
Well, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Charlie.
There we are.
Yeah.
There we are.
Yeah.
And Hillary, on a good hair day, you would put her on the money, right?
Oh, why, Scott?
No, they stopped making $3 bills.
Oh.
No, they still make them.
Okay.
$2 bills.
Brandy, who's the big D Democrat here, this meeting that happened this morning.
Sure you didn't want to call me a socialist?
Maybe. I don't know. You might call me a fascist. I don't want to get into that. Huh. So tell me about this meeting this morning. It wasn't all lollipops and candy canes like we hear. Oh, we have very little differences. Baloney, you have very little differences. Why'd you have this meeting?
Well, I think that there's a certain... the squad, right? I think the
I'm
squad.
I'm so tired
gets,
of hearing that.
The squad gets a lot of attention. I don't know that they do actually have a lot of differences. I think that there's a lot that gets played up that doesn't really need to be played up. And it's kind of a silly storyline.
They're
I don't
a novelty.
Know. Yeah. I'm tired of hearing about it. Like, work your but stuff out
you,
and
you
move
think
forward.
They don't have differences.
Not, I don't think they have as many differences as people think that they do. No, I don't.
Why do you think she wanted the meeting then?
because I think that AOC gets a lot of attention. There's a lot of negative press that constantly swirls around their relationship. And I think it's important to a certain set of people that it appear that they are trying to work things out. Whether or not there's anything to actually work out, I don't know. But
I think what happened in this meeting this morning was Pelosi said, be quiet and sit down and stop.
Well, that won't happen.
Well, this Cortez woman, she can't stop. She'll tell us eventually what happened in this meeting. But I believe that's why she met with her. What other reason would they have to meet, Charlie, to discuss their differences?
I wasn't aware of the meeting to begin with.
Yeah, but do you think they're close together on... I don't think so.
On policy? Yeah. On issues? Yes.
Really?
Of course, yes.
What's the issues?
Yeah, I don't think so.
What's one issue?
I don't think so. Nancy Pelosi doesn't believe you should be on Twitter.
Nancy Pelosi is on Twitter.
Yeah, but in a professional manner. Not calling names, not doing that. So.
Have you looked at Nancy Pelosi's Twitter?
No, we're not Twitter friends.
So there you go.
I don't know.
I've got to get back on Twitter.
I think it's more about the attention that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez gets, and the fact that there's
jealous?
This constant... No, I think there's this constant narrative about the two of them butting heads. I mean, of course there's going to be a difference of opinion occasionally about how we get from X to Z, but I don't think there's this vast chasm that can't be overcome between Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's just not the case.
I think there's a problem while the primary is going on because Cortez seems to, which I think she has said, and somebody will tell me if I'm wrong, but she's either Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. She's already narrowed it down to two, and she's telling you the two. Doesn't matter what any of the other 24 have to say. That's where she is. I tell you, Pelosi's not Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. She'll get behind who the Democrat is, but those, I guarantee you, are not her two.
Who do you think her two are?
Oh, well, she's Biden. That's her old buddy. And I bet she could see Kamala. Nancy Pelosi was the first woman Speaker of the House. I mean, she's for women. She believes in that. So probably Kamala, probably, I don't know. Those probably be her two. I'm trying to think of who else is in there. I don't know. Those would be the two. Don't you?
I don't know.
If the media stayed away from them, they disappear. I mean, because they're a novelty, they're getting all this attention. Now, would they agree among each other? I thought they were a uniform group.
Well, they're only four, and I still don't understand what damage they could possibly do. It's not like the Tea Party.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Damage could they?
Why is the Democratic Party so concerned with these four women? I think because they get all our attention.
It is the Democratic Party that is so concerned with them.
Well, that's who met with them this morning.
Yeah, but because there's all this constant scrutiny that is happening, I wonder how it would be for any other freshman congressperson to get as much attention as they've gotten. I mean, I can't imagine being in my first year in the House and, you know, constantly being barraged with all of this nonsense when I'm still really trying to get the lay of the land and you know, figure out my job. There's a lot of nuance comes.
What's she doing about her job?
Like, leave them alone. Let them do the work.
Well, then they've got to leave it alone, too, though. They've got to stop going on Twitter. They've got to stop saying these things that they say. They've got to stop making these little YouTube videos dancing into their offices. You know, you bring on attention in a certain way.
Well, I mean, that is how they got elected, but the constant narrative of, you know, these four are taking over the world is absurd.
Not taking over the world.
How they acted. I mean, there have been articles that have literally said they've infiltrated the House and they're tearing it down from within. They're four women and they're just trying to do their job. And yes, they get silly. They are charismatic. They know how to engage their voters. That's how they got there in the first place. But come on.
But what about the tweets about Israel by one of the squad members? I mean, that's going to get you attention. And the own party, I'm sure that is not something that Pelosi or the majority of Democrats in Congress would back.
Which tweets are you talking about?
Well, the tweets about Israel and Jewish people in general, the implication. I don't have the tweets in front of me.
I don't think it was about Jewish people in general. I think it was about the fact that there's a certain group in America that no matter what Israel does, and it's not Jewish people. That's the truth of it is, it is not necessarily Jewish people, that no matter what Israel does, they can do no wrong. When there's another group of people that has to be considered in the politics of it all. You can't just say, well, whatever Israel wants goes. I mean, you can say that, but it's not going to be the best resolution for all of the people involved.
But that's always a hot button issue. Israel and Palestine has been a hot button issue since the beginning of that time with that group.
So and she should just not have an opinion on it?
No, but we have to go back with the original start of this conversation is, you know, you're new, stay under the radar, let them learn what they want. Well, okay, but you can't be going on the Twitter and making those comments about Israel.
But if Twitter is how you get your views out to your voters, then what are you supposed
to do? But she's not running for election. She's new.
No, she's in office.
Right.
That's how she's communicating with her constituents.
Charlie, do you think that if you want to be under the radar, that you should be going to Twitter and saying provocative things about Israel?
It's a good way to get attention.
It's attention. Right.
Yeah, that's it.
But I don't think that's why she was doing it.
You think she didn't realize that that would get attention? A sitting congresswoman making remarks about Israel like that?
If I'm a congresswoman, it doesn't matter if what I am about to say is going to get attention. If it needs to be said, then it needs to be said.
Well, I'll tell you this. If President Trump had said that, they would have wanted to, it'd been over for him. And people don't take that, you don't take that stance toward President Trump. What you just said, if you think it, if you believe it, and you'd think it needs to be said, say it.
No, well, these are policy things. This is not Donald Trump's problem on Twitter. It is not that, I mean, it's a problem that he doesn't notify the people who need to be notified about policy before he tweets it out. That is a problem. But Donald Trump expressing his views about, you know, the economy or Israel or whatever on Twitter is not the problem. The problem is that he attacks constantly every person that he perceives as any little threat. He says the most absurd things. He promotes businesses and news corporations and things that he shouldn't be promoting. I mean, he just is off the rails on Twitter.
But didn't we say a few weeks ago that Twitter is freedom of speech? I said no. I don't believe that it should be freedom of speech because it's a business.
It is freedom of speech, but when you're the president, you still have laws that you have to abide by in terms of who and what you can promote and when. And I mean, there are rules about what you can do as president. He might want to think, as he said, that he has, you know, unlimited powers because of Article 2. That is absolutely not the truth. He has rules and laws that he must abide by as the president of the United States, and he doesn't.
What shape is the country in? Are we bad off or worse off than before Trump? Is the country going downhill? Where's it going?
We have far more attacks from people who identify with white supremacism than we ever did before Trump got into office.
Yeah, that's getting to be this whole racist thing. I think it's just getting blown out.
We also have, there was an economist who tweeted out today, or yesterday, I'm sorry, about the fact that we've essentially reached the point of being in recession in terms of income. He's, you know, trying to manipulate the dollar.
Our economy's never been better, has it? I mean,
was our economy on the upswing when he took office?
I don't know, was it?
Yes.
Where was it? Where is it now?
It's continuing to upswing, but
it's been going up every day.
We now have signs of recession. That's the truth. Well, I not want to see it, but it is the truth signs of recession.
Some say we're going to have riots. That the country is going to have one big riot. Some of the far-out people. In fact, some of the evangelists are saying this.
Yes, that's true. They are.
Just watch Jimmy Baker every day.
Oh, I'd rather
the
not.
End is near.
The end is near. We're getting close to the end, so we got to switch topics here real quick and get away. We don't want to spend all our time on politics.
Love and relationships.
Here.
Love and relationships.
No, we haven't talked about that for a long time.
No,
that's interesting.
Not true. We talked about that last week with Mary Ellen Withrow.
What did we talk about with Mary Ellen?
We talked about divorce and whether or not women should take $30 million if they're...
Oh, yeah, but I don't think that's love. I think that's money.
No, but it's Mary about Ellen relationships.
Said, by the way, Mary Ellen said take the money.
She did.
And Brandy. You should have seen Brandy last week, by the way. I just want to point this out.
Oh,
I've
no.
never seen such a demure.
Really?
Oh,
what?
She clammed up so quick.
I did not.
Listen to the show. Go to the archive and listen to the show.
You know, it's funny because I said the same thing about you.
I've never seen Brandy disagree so politely with somebody
I
as she did.
I didn't disagree with
you,
Mary
on the
Ellen
money
Withrow.
Thing you did. Yes, see, you won't even admit
there
you
was
The point is, go listen to the show. Charlie, when Mary Ellen was here, swoosh.
No.
By the way, Mary Ellen is having an open house.
Hey, what do you think about the new polling places?
Yeah, they're knocking one out there, moving it over to Richland Road.
Yeah.
Where is that paper about Mary Ellen's open house? Mary Ellen is having an open house out at Primrose on August 4th, 2 to 4 p.m., her museum.
Oh.
There you go.
Great.
Now, I don't want to spend all the time on how Brandy caved totally last week under Mary Ellen Withrow.
I didn't have anything to disagree with her about. That
the money thing you did. Okay, this is interesting. Just to point something out here. Ben Affleck apparently has made up with the creators of the Silent Bob movie. There was some rift.
What?
Yeah, there was some rift. So this leads us into the point. The question is, can you bring old friends back into the fold if you've had a falling out for some reason?
I don't know.
If somebody does you wrong, Charlie, are you just done with them for life, or can you forgive?
I'd say done with for life.
So no forgiveness. Okay, there you go. Simple answer.
You know, that's something that's preached quite a bit. You got to forgive.
Turn the other cheek.
Forgive and forget.
Yeah. People forgive, but I don't think they forget.
But we've talked about that before, too, yeah. About whether or not it's good to hold a grudge and
that's right.
All of that stuff.
Yeah, but what
thing,
do you think?
So.
Could you? Okay, I'm not even going to say.
I mean, I have brought people back occasionally, but it's the exception, not the rule. Generally, if I'm done with you, I'm done with you.
But, you know, I think that's so silly because sometimes I know that people, the wrong issue that broke up the friendship is sometimes the person who broke the friendship up doesn't even understand what happened. They don't have all the facts, and they won't hear them. So, you know, that's touchy. I think you should hear somebody out. If you want to continue to avoid them, that's fine. But you got to hear them out. You can't just say, well, I'm mad about this. Because sometimes that mad does go down. You can't spend your life being angry with somebody.
Well, you don't have to be angry with them just because you don't. Are no longer friends with them.
No,
I mean,
but it's uncomfortable when you see him in public. It's Yeah. Would you say hello to him?
I mean, probably not, but it's easy to ignore somebody. You don't have to. There's nothing uncomfortable about it. You just ignore him.
Well, that's that. Well,
I keep trying to think if there's anybody right now that. Well, there's one person, perhaps, that if I saw, I wouldn't. I'd walk the other way.
I think I have one. I think we have the same person in mind in that particular situation. But that's it. Me too.
Yeah.
I don't hold grudges well because I don't ever get a grudge. I'm kind of low energy when it comes to the anger. It takes a lot to make me angry.
You can tell he's never been married,
I have
too.
A long fuse.
Yeah, because there's a lot of anger in marriage and a lot of grudges. You got it.
I have a very long fuse, and I will hear people out. But once the fuse blows, you're done. Yeah. I mean...
Well, this is an interesting one to wrap this week up, and we'll touch it. I don't think this is not love and whatever. But what it is, it's kind of interesting because this is chemical and personality and sociological. Harvard did a study and found out that people have a type, that's just not a line that people use, that if people get divorced, that if people date a lot of people, you will find a common thread in the people that they are with. And that's kind of interesting. And maybe that's why sometimes there's multiple marriages and sometimes there's multiple relationships, because maybe the type is not compatible with them, but that's the type of person they go for. I think that's fascinating. What do you think, Charlie?
Yeah.
Yep. Me too. That's what I think. What do you think, Brandy?
I mean, I've definitely seen that. And I think sometimes, yes, the type is personality related. But I know I can think of at least three people off the top of my head where they've gotten divorced and then their next marriage, the person has looked almost exactly like the person that they divorced. And it always creeps me out a little bit.
Well, is it looks, I think, is probably in there, too. But I think it's personality.
Yeah, I do think that that's a big thing. And for some people, I do think the type is that they like a relationship that has a lot of drama and, you know, constant tension.
I noticed like hair color. There are two things I thought of is I know a lot of guys who will break up, date, divorce, whatever, some girl, and then the next girl will have the same hair color. And sometimes it's not a common hair color. You know, you would say, oh, a brown-haired girl. Okay, well, there's a lot of brown-haired girls. But it's a blonde, or it's a redhead, or, you know, it's really strange how that happens. It's like almost a replacement for the thing that's no longer there. It's very bizarre.
I think hair color maybe has to do a little bit more with what gets someone's attention. So, I mean, if a blonde person attracts your attention, you're more likely
to
talk to them.
But you have to
watch
that, because sometimes they're not blonde.
Mostly they aren't.
Mostly they aren't. You have to watch that, because sometimes you think what you're getting into is, and then you find out other ways. But the point is, no, that's true. How many people dye their hair? Tons.
Yes, it is true, but...
And then you've gotten in the wrong area. You wanted a blonde, and now you've got a brunette.
But if she dyes her hair and you were attracted to her then, why do you care if she keeps dyeing her hair?
Not because the dye might run out.
It does.
It does. You got it.
You got to keep at it.
But the other thing before we wrap this up, well, you know Hillary's dyed. I wonder what her original color was.
I think it was blonde.
Well, you know darn well Pelosi's dyed.
Might have been a dishwater blonde.
Yeah.
Isn't that an old phrase?
Well, you know, I have a weird, like, my hair.
Is that your hair color?
Yes, this is my natural hair. No, my hair gets described as
different
colors.
No dye in your hair.
No, I've never dyed my hair. But I get described as different hair colors by different people. It's really funny.
What would you call that hair color?
I call it nondescript mouse brown.
Mouse brown?
Is there a dishwater blonde?
Dishwater blonde is dirty blonde.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dirty blonde.
But for some people describe me as blonde, some people describe me as brunette, and some people say, well, you're more of a strawberry blonde. And I'm like, I don't know what you people are talking about.
Well, the other part of this really quickly, I believe, is not just in hair color. I believe it's where you meet the person. See, if you meet the person in a bar, you sometimes are bound to get that party person because extroverts go to bars. You don't find a lot of introverts looking for dates in bars. But a lot of extroverts do. So you get stuck with that same type of person. And that's, I think the internet, oddly enough, has become that as well. Because if you put yourself on an internet dating site, you have to be desperate. And
Oh, my gosh.
You're talking to the wrong person there.
You don't have to be desperate. No, I did not use a dating site.
No, okay.
I've never been on a dating site. Oh.
Okay, not desperate, just lonely. Okay.
No, I mean, that's just the way that dating is done now, is on the internet.
What do you know about somebody on the internet?
Because I still have lots of single friends.
And they're but why are they single?
Well, some of them are very young.
By choice?
They're single and don't mingle.
No, I mean, I do think that there's... I mean, we were talking before the show about how your neighbors don't really pay attention to your lives anymore, right? There's sort of this tendency now for people to just mind their own business, and you don't pick up people at the grocery store anymore, or
pick up,
you know,
people
go
at
to the
grocery
bars
store
or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
How do you do that?
I don't know, but I'm just saying dating is done now, is on the internet.
There's a good-looking blonde over in the cookie section. Get over there and get a number.
I've been hit on at the grocery store. You've never hit on a girl at the grocery store?
I don't like
Charlie.
Being in the grocery store.
No.
God, no. What do they do when they hit on you in the grocery store? You think everybody's hitting on you, though.
No, when they've literally asked. No, I do not.
Oh, that was a sour fish if I've ever seen
no,
one.
No, when they will literally ask you out at the grocery store, strike up a conversation, and then ask you if you'd like to go to dinner or whatever. Yes.
What? I never...
Where is this happening?
I never pictured a grocery store being that
really?
Prone to
at
that.
At the grocery store.
Who's talking to you at the grocery store that doesn't know you?
I don't know most people in Marion.
So they just walk up to you and they say, hey, do you want to go out?
Say, hey, I like your basket.
Yeah, yeah. I like the stuff.
No,
whoa.
Oh, yeah. How do you pick out a fresh watermelon?
Yeah,
Which are the ripest watermelons? Yeah. And then you start talking to them.
What end of the watermelon do you tap to see if it's ripe or not?
Exactly, yep. Yeah. That's how it happens.
That's a good pickup line. And that's what you want to be telling your grandkids 100 years from now. Where'd we meet? Well, I was at the grocery store.
Smell this muskmelon. Yes. Is it ripe?
Honeydews. Yeah. That's how you test a honeydew.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, that somebody would pick up somebody.
In a,
you know, you don't pick up people in the grocery store.
Please don't do that.
You don't know who you're going to get.
Might get a rotten egg.
It's not
you
like you're marrying them tomorrow.
No, but
they're
don't
just
know.
Asking somebody
but
out to
what
dinner.
What do you know about somebody checking out watermelons? You just know what they look like, and that's a bad way to start.
Well, yeah, but that's why you go to dinner and learn more about the person, and either you click or you don't click.
Hey, how's that watermelon? Can you cook it for dinner tonight, and I'll come over? There you go.
Do you cook watermelons?
Oh, you've never had fried green watermelons?
Ew.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah, but all the water evaporates, and all you got.
Well, it's just like taking the seeds out. You're not going for the watermelon. You're going for the date. You're going to see if the hair color's natural.
Right, yeah,
that's what you're going for.
Well, if somebody asked me if I could cook this watermelon for dinner, yeah, it'd be a definite no.
Well, I don't think you're saying yes to these people at the grocery store are you? So what do you say to them when they ask you out real quick?
Well, I'm married.
That's what you say to them?
Sorry, that's very nice, but I'm married.
And they move to the next watermelon person over there, and they say, how are you doing? How do you check your watermelons?
You suppose if you saw somebody you really like, would like to date, and you follow them around with your cart behind them?
That'd be weird.
It'd be suspicious.
I have been followed, too. Yeah, that was creepy.
It
happens to women a lot more than you would imagine.
A lot of men wandering around the grocery store.
There
check
are.
This out if you go there today. All right. that's gonna wrap it up. But people have a type. That's the whole point of that conversation. All right. It's been fun. Stay tuned. More programming around the corner. Monday morning. The morning show kicks off 6:30 to 10 every weekday morning. And Monday morning.
I have to remember to listen.
Yeah. It'll be interesting Monday.
Good.
Kickoff morning. National interviews, local interviews, giveaways, phone calls, complain about something, whatever you want.
Well, that's what we need. That
don't
eggs.
Invite people to complain.
Complain. We want it.
That's
it.
Exactly what
you just sealed your
radio should be.
That's right.
And hopefully, that's great.
It's going to be a hot show.
Tell
Monday.
Your friends.
And Tuesday, we'll be live at Panera Bread from 6:30
really?
In the morning until 10 o'clock. We'll be doing the show live from
no
Panera.
Kidding?
Oh, yeah. We're going to be there.
Well, I have to go there.
Yeah, Panera Tuesday morning. Don't miss it.
What are you promoting there?
Panera.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're live from Panera. Come see us.
Yeah. But that's only, that's a freebie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be there. Just, they're giving us
if you
want to
get promoted, contact Scott.
Yeah, that's right.
No charge.
I'll come to your house and do the show at 6:30 in the morning if you want me to.
Word.
Yeah. We'll have a good time. We can sit in the kitchen and have a conversation. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, we're going to go to a grocery store one morning, and we're going to find out
how many men
what's really
around.
Going on in those darn grocery stores.
Hey, that would be interesting.
Wouldn't
that?
We have to report back. 6:30 Monday morning, debut of and Toby Keith Monday morning. So we're going to take entries from 6:30 in the morning through 10 o'clock. Give the tickets away at 10 o'clock. The concert's Monday night at the Ohio State Fair. And then Tuesday we'll be at Panera. And Wednesday we're going to do something we've never done. Charlie will be one of the guests. We're waiting on the confirmation from the other person. But it will be something in the morning that's never been done ever before on Wednesday.
Well,
so you've got three big days to kick off the morning show.
Golly!
Oh, my. Have a Weasel show tonight, 8 to 10. And other than that, stay tuned to the station. Have a great weekend. And talk to you Monday morning, bright and early, 6:30 in the morning.
August of 2018. He had been a firefighter for more than 50 years. Another former